The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 18 years from tonight, Grant Gill will become a comedy legend when he totally kills it at his improv class's graduation performance. Knees will be slapped. Hilarity will ensue. That's why he's already keeping himself in shape and razor sharp today with wellness tips and tools from AARP to help make sure his health lives as long as he does. Because the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/healthyliving.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Yo, what's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Busted Open After Dark Podcast. It's Uncle Bully coming at you on a Wednesday night. Lots to get into tonight. The show opens with Copeland and his rah-rah speech for AEW. But were you buying it? I'll let you know what I thought. Breaking down the matches, we had Danielson versus Archer. We had Will versus Will. I'll put them both under a microscope. All this and more with me, Uncle Bully, right here on the Busted Open After Dark Podcast. The contract signed in blood. Only thing I probably would have not done is hit Swerve so many times in the jaw with the chain. Because, I mean, it had to be 12 to 15 shots. He nailed him one shot in the forehead, busted him open, and then about 12, 15 shots to the jaw with the chain. Maybe just one or two shots. Because one or two shots with a fist wrapped in a chain to your jaw, you're going down. So maybe they should have just done that, which would have, I would have believed Swerve getting to his feet a little bit more. That's just a little nitpick thing, but I thought that was an excellent segment. Excellent closing segment for Dynamite. Swerve wiping the blood off his forehead, putting on the contract, signing over the blood in ink pen. Joe, in absolute disbelief, comes back to the ring, gives Swerve a knee to either the net, the bread basket or the yam bag, and then just picks him up, Uranagi rock bottom right through the table. That's what AEW needs more of. They had some great wrestling matches tonight. And I think it's important for them to have great wrestling matches because their new, it seems like the new motto they have is where the best wrestlers wrestle. And we saw some good ones. Anyway, guys, I'm going to jump to the opening segment. Show started off about 15 seconds into Dynamite. We got Adam Copeland's music. And, I write down notes for everything. And the notes that I came up with, right off the bat, the first note that I took was Adam Copeland is doing damage control for AEW. I'm going to pose a question to you guys right off the bat before I even get into Copeland's promo. You heard it. You saw his enthusiasm. You could hear the tone and the inflection in his voice. Did you buy into what Adam Copeland was saying? Do you think Adam Copeland was speaking from the heart tonight? Or do you think Adam Copeland was given marching orders and told, go out there and cut me a passionate promo about the state of the company? Want to know your thoughts on that one. So Adam gives us his rah-rah speech, his damage control speech, and the perception that AEW has right now. Said there's a lot of negative out there about AEW this week. He wants to talk about the positives. Okay, that's cool. He gives us a speech about basically why you should love AEW and why you should love all pro wrestling. Now, I get where he's coming from, but what if you don't exactly love or like the product that you're getting? And I'm not talking about AEW specifically. I'm talking about any wrestling company out there. Are you still supposed to like it or love it if you're not that big of a fan of it? For me, I'll go the world of rock and roll. I was never a Dokken fan. Despite that I like heavy metal, despite the fact that I like hair metal, despite the fact that I love straight up rock and roll, I just never could get into Dokken. I don't badmouth Dokken, but it's not a band that I could just like because I like rock and roll. Can you just like a wrestling company because you're supposed to like all of pro wrestling? There's plenty of stuff out there that I don't necessarily like. I can see how others may. I could see how it is your cup of tea. But this whole just like it, just sit back and watch it, just enjoy wrestling. Well, that's like telling me to enjoy goat cheese. And I fucking hate goat cheese. I love most cheese, but I hate goat cheese. Goat cheese just leaves this horrible taste in my mouth. But am I still supposed to like it because I like cheese? I like Swiss. I like Gruyere. I like, give me another cheese, Susumu. What kind of cheese do you like, Susumu?
Love me some cheddar.
There you go. Some nice cheddar. A nice sharp cheddar. C-H-E-D-D-A-H. Cheddar. Show me the cheddar. But I can't stand goat cheese. But am I still supposed to like it? Copeland talks to us about why all the big stars have come over to AEW. Ospreay, Mercedes Moné. He mentioned one other person too in that list Okada. Now, he never said why they decided to come there. But if you're asking me why, it's because of A, money. The ungodly money that Tony Khan pays a lot of people. And God bless. You never know when your career is going to end in the pro wrestling industry. We don't have a pension. We don't have a 401k. All we can rely on is that pile of money that we accumulate over the years. And you don't know when you're on your last day in the pro wrestling business. So you got to make as much as you can, as quickly as you can. But that's why these big stars come. First is money. Don't kid yourself. It's not because, yay, I love wrestling. It's money. Because it's a business. Secondly, schedule. Third, freedom. There is a lot of creative freedom within AEW. Those are the reasons why these stars come over. And that's gospel, folks. And once you become a pro wrestler, you learn that as you go along. The idea in business is to constantly climb the ladder of success and make as much money as you can. Adam Copeland goes on to introduce Will Ospreay, and we go into our first match. And I want to try to cover some matches that we saw tonight and a couple of the more entertaining segments that we saw tonight.
Busted Open Nation, you wanted it and you got it. Don't miss the chance to join Dave LaGreca and the Cody Crybabies and be part of the Pink Robe Revolution at WrestleMania 40.
The guy is sitting in his basement with a bathrobe and a Cody Rhodes t-shirt on.
This pink robe is my armor.
Get your own pink robe when Busted Open takes over Philadelphia WrestleMania weekend.
The power of Cody compels you.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 18 years from tonight, Grant Gill will become a comedy legend when he totally kills it at his improv class's graduation performance. Knees will be slapped. Hilarity will ensue. That's why he's already keeping himself in shape and razor sharp today with wellness tips and tools from AARP to help make sure his health lives as long as he does. Because the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/healthyliving.
Tito's handmade vodka had been mixed with its fair share of cocktails. But one night, a chilled glass topped with lime and cranberry would change everything this bottle knew about happy hour. From the producers of America's favorite vodka, it turns out the cocktail you've been waiting for was right there the whole time. The Tito's Rum Cosmo. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll sip with Tito's. Coming to cocktail parties near you at titosvodka.com. 40% alcohol by volume, namely 80 proof, crafted to be savored responsibly.
Let's get into some of the matches. Ospreay and Hobbs. Two callous family members going at it. I thought this was a strong match, and it was a clash of styles. This was big man in Will Hobbs versus, I can't say little man, because Ospreay is not small. He's put on some great size over the years. But you get it. High flyer versus more of a ground and pound guy. I enjoyed the psychology of the match, and I'm going to get into a portion of the match which I particularly liked, and it told me a story within the body of the match. There was a moment where Hobbs and Ospreay were standing on the turnbuckles, and Hobbs picked Ospreay up in like almost like a front slam position. Almost a mid-position of a body slam. And he did this, like, almost sack of shit, springboard splash onto Ospreay. And I gasped for breath when I saw that. Like, I was like, oh, my God. Because that will knock the wind out of you quick. But Hobbs executed it really well because he held Ospreay so close to him. And when you're going to land on a guy, you actually want him in tight to you, so you land at the same time. And that's what they did. You don't want Ospreay landing first and then Hobbs to land on him a second behind, because that's what knocks the wind out of you. So great job. I mean, Hobbs is just, you know, they call him powerhouse for a reason. He's a freaking bull. Held Ospreay, gave him the slam. And then Will Hobbs got up, did not go for the cover. Or if he went for the cover and Ospreay kicked, and even the commentators put it over like, Hobbs should not be getting up and showboating right now and pulling down the straps. Wasting that time could cost him the match. Then we saw Hobbs pick Ospreay up, and Ospreay reversed into some kind of, roundhouse DDT. And the minute Ospreay hit that DDT, he got right back up, went to the top and did some like twisting acai, splash driver, whatever the hell it's called. It doesn't even matter. It was just like one of those crazy ass moves right onto Hobbs, and then gets right up and runs to the corner, fires up and hits the hidden blade right into Hobbs's head. Move after move after move. He did not take any time in between his moves. Thus, he's able to get the 1-2-3 on Hobbs. Makes it credible. The bigger heel was showboating. Thus, that cost him the match. And the fiery, speedy babyface went bang, bang, bang. And he gets the 1-2-3. Perfect way to beat Hobbs if you got to beat him. And they did. Good job. Let's move on to Danielson and Archer, which was another strong match that I enjoyed the psychology of. And I'm not surprised because it's Bryan Danielson who understands psychology. Danielson, much like a Jay Lethal, understands all of the psychologies out there and knows how to blend them in. He understands that Ring of Honor strong style, that WWE psychology, and mixes them well in an AEW ring. And you have to have strong psychology when you're going up a guy that's that much bigger than you in a Lance Archer. You know how I feel about the big men in AEW, of how they're treated, but both these guys lost incredible fashions tonight. Archer was extremely dominant the first half of the match. Extremely. Taking it to Danielson, as he should have. But slowly but surely, Danielson started to come back. A missed splash in the corner, some really stiff leg kicks, started chopping that big man down, started chopping that tree down, taking away one of his wheels so he can't stand up anymore. Found a way to chop him down, and then found a way to beat him. Another good match, a strong match with good in-ring psychology. Here's another tiny thing that I really liked in that match. Archer was in the corner, and Danielson came running at him. Archer went to put up the boot, and Danielson caught the boot and went for a dragon screw leg drag. Oh, you guys didn't think I knew what a dragon screw was, huh? Yeah, well, I've taken them from the Great Muda in Japan. So up your nose with a rubber hose. Or you New Japan marks. Goes for the dragon screw, but the way Archer turns, he's able to grab the top rope and not bump from it. Love that. Using the ropes to stop yourself from falling down. And then Danielson is able to get that leg again and then hits it. Real smart psychology. Tiny, tiny little things like that. Attention to detail is what draws me in. And they did a really good job with it. So both of those opening matches I thought were really good. One of the things I threw out there on social media, I actually had a mini power outage here from the Big Tommy J Studios in Bam Bam Bigelow's backyard, Asbury Park, New Jersey. Big Tom, owner, proprietor of the Wicked Wolf in Center City, Philadelphia, where I will be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Hope to see everybody who's coming down for WrestleMania weekend. 8 o'clock, Wicked Wolf, Philadelphia. I'll be there. LaGreca will be there. Dreamer will probably be there. Mark's going to be there. Come have a drink. We're pre-gaming, and then we're heading out to see Mark Henry DJ. Andre, give me the name of where Mark is DJing so we can tell the nation and remind the nation about that.
It will be at the Wrestling Nightclub presented by Remix Rumble at the Concourse Dance Bar over in South Philly.
Concourse Dance Bar, South Philly. Mark is DJing. If he's as good of a DJ as he is a stand-up comic, we're going to have a lot of fun. We'll be grinding away. Unta, 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 unta. One of the things I threw up there was about the Mercedes Moné Willow Nightingale on stage with Renee Paquette. Like I said, I had a little bit of a power failure, but I was able to come back and watch enough of it where I was like, how does Mercedes, who does not have a match yet, has not had a match yet in AEW, just get to randomly plug herself in and get to challenge the winner of Willow and who? Willow and who? Did you guys have the power out also? I don't know. She's challenging for the champ, and I'm like, she hasn't had a match yet. The rankings are supposed to matter. How does she just plug herself in there? But then I actually remembered a tweet that Tony Khan put up like 3 weeks ago, the first official rankings that came up Mariah May and Willow Nightingale, by the way, is the match that Mercedes Moné is throwing her up against the winner. I remember the tweet that Tony threw out, and I found it. And I guess it's all of the major championships where the rankings matter. Men's World Championship, Women's World Championship, Tag Team Championships, Trios Championships. So now I understand. Now that makes more sense to me. Otherwise, I was prepared to come on tonight and say, well, it's only been a couple of weeks, and the rankings don't matter. The rankings mean as much as the draft did in the WWE back when Vince was running it. Because you know the draft didn't mean shit. They were trading people back and forth, left and right. So now I understood it. So I'm glad that that made sense.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open every day of the week at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
I know how to run a hair salon, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. She's a small business owner too, so she knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.